This podcast is produced by the Center for Deployment Psychology at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences. The views expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Uniformed Services University, the Department of Defense, or the U.S. government. In addition, references to any specific companies, products, processes, or services does not necessarily constitute or imply endorsement by the Uniformed Services University, the Department of Defense, or the U.S. government. Welcome to CDP's podcast, Practical for Your Practice,
where we give you actionable intel to support what you do, one colleague to another.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to season five.
Season five!
Woo! Season five of Practical
Who
for
thought
your
we
practice.
Were going to last this long?
I did.
Think, you know, can I just say
I wasn't
thank
even
you?
Here the whole time, but that's cool.
Exactly. You can't, you don't even have a reference like we do, Corinne, but thank God you're here. We are, you know, number one, grateful to everybody out there who's listening, who has stuck with us and has continued this journey with us.
But also those who are just joining us, you know, those who maybe are joining us at this season or maybe just past season. Glad you're checking us out.
Welcome.
Many of you who did listen in last season, we had a theme, which was really fun. And last season's theme was... we called it confessionals, EBP confessionals. And we wanted to really hear stories from our guests about times when things didn't go perfectly perfect and how they recovered and really normalize that, just like our clients, you know, as we're doing therapy, as we're working with clients, things don't always go exactly as planned. That it happens, you know, it happens to all of us, except me. It happens to all of us. But the important thing is reach out, you know, talk to somebody, get consultation, figure out a way to around it, and then, you know, come out on the other side. So, I mean, I think Kevin and Karim would agree that was a pretty fun.
I think it was. I love the idea that it's okay not to be perfect, right? And we want to normalize that too. Yeah. So yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
I have to say fun because I like the title of EBP Confessionals. It was not fun to share our own missteps, but it was humbling, I will say.
Yes. It's true. And I think also helped us as a community, as a podcast community, feel relatable, right? We can relate to our guests. We can relate to each other. We're all in this together. So in that vein, we wanted to think about, kind of having another theme for season five. And, you know, especially on that relatable front, we decided that this season, we really want to talk to our guests about the what's their why, sort of what drew them into the field and the specific sort of slice of the field that they're in. I guess the words that keep going through my head is sort of like the origin story of your superpower as a behavioral health provider.
Do we also get to talk about our superpowers? Because I'm excited to hear. Yeah, okay, that, I guess
that
not.
That could be in the actual intel, perhaps. Okay. kind of before we got started today, we were chatting amongst the hosts, and as Kevin put very eloquently, we felt like it would be good for the hosts to eat our own dog food. And so we wanted to kick off season five by sharing a little bit with you all what our why is, why we sort of got into the field, why we're with CDP, and sort of relate to that mission, and if we have subspecialties to sort of model again where we're headed this season with some of our guests. So we're just going to kick it off right there. And I'm going to throw out, I don't know if Corinne or Kevin wants to go first, but maybe one of you could share, what's your why?
Okay. I'll go first. My why. The reality is that there are only two things that I've ever been interested in doing in my life that could hold my attention. One is working with animals, being a veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And two is human psychology. Not animal psychology, human psychology. And I tried my hand. I did an internship actually in high school with a veterinarian, which was an awesome experience, by the way. I got to do that. And I got to see all sorts of wild things and maybe even help some animals along the way. But I realized really quickly that I could never be a veterinarian. Not only, you know, could I not handle being seeing animals in pain, But then I also sometimes couldn't handle the owners either, who, you know, I just wanted to take their animals away. So that was very short lived.
And like, I can work on that, the psychology piece, right? The owners. Right.
Well, that was exactly it. So then I thought, okay, clearly psychology is my field, but I was going to be a child psychologist. So I went in to school to be a school psychologist, to grad school to be a school psychologist and work with kids specifically. And then, and I always had an interest in trauma. So I was working with kids with trauma. And then I once again realized that I couldn't handle working with kids in pain. Mm. And I was getting really angry at some of the parents. So
they
that
come
was
with
terrible.
Parents. That's what I was going to say. They have owners also.
Parents. So eventually I ended up where I am now, which is working largely with adults with trauma, because I can just sort of barely handle adult pain. I can just sort of barely manage it. I can manage it much better than anything else that I've tried to do. So it was not a clean, straight road, but I'm really happy with where I ended up.
We're happy you ended up here.
Well, thanks. Thank you.
And I'm just going to poke a little, because you have a little bit longer. So how did you get into military, you know, versus like, how did you wind up in this arena, in the military connected, veteran connected kind of community?
Yeah. Well, I was told to keep it short, so I was trying to, but I can talk forever about this because this is interesting to me. So as I said, I was interested in trauma work. I've always been interested in trauma work. And really the best place, in my opinion, to get training to work with trauma is in the military system, right? Whether it's VA or DOD. And so knowing that I really wanted to learn evidence-based care, I ended up, after a stint in college counseling, I ended up back at the VA. Back at the VA because I did my first practicum experience there, which terrified me to my core. But then I went back and learned PE and CPT and CBT for insomnia, which goes along with trauma presentations. So that's how I got into the military world. And then I accidentally got to CDP, because again, this has not been a straight line in any way, shape, or form. I accidentally got to CDP because a colleague was going to teach a class with CDP, and he kind of roped me into it. And I was terrified of public speaking, and I was terrified of presenting material, and I didn't think that I had the expertise to do it. But I also had student loans, and it came with a nice paycheck to do the one-time training. And so I did it, and you know, I had a panic attack the whole time.
But exposure works.
The exposure, and I was teaching PE. Exposure works, and now I can't get enough of it, and I love teaching, I love consulting, and you can't shut me up. So, you know, I've ended up exactly where I'm supposed to be, but that's not amazing. At all planned.
Not where you ever thought you would be, but it worked out to be
not in a million years. In the end. Yeah, there are almost no kittens or puppies at CDP. Almost none.
Almost.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's my why story. I'm interested in hearing your why stories. So Kevin, what's your why story?
Okay. How much time do you got? I'm kidding. mine's also a very windy road. I didn't, you know, I actually had never considered psychology as a profession or something that I was going to be really looking into until much later, like halfway through grad school. I didn't know. No, halfway through undergrad. I originally was a computer science major, and that wasn't even my first pick. At one point, I thought I was going to be an actor. I was going to go into acting.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Get out of here.
I did some plays in high school, and I thought that was the coolest thing, and so that was going to be my thing. But for various reasons, including having a hard time imagining waiting tables for the rest of my life, for example, or driving a taxi, and also just the culture around that felt a mismatch for me at the time, at least. I decided to try to do something that seemed like it was going to be more of a steady paycheck. Ha ha. And, you know, a little more, but also still had some creative stuff to it. So I was a computer science major. My first year of undergrad felt like I did really well, but there was this one class that was tough, discrete math. And it's not what it sounds like. Well, I mean, I got through it, but I had to take the follow-up class in my sophomore year. But between freshman and sophomore year, I kind of took a couple years off to do some service and traveling. So I had this disconnect in my head. So when I got back to it and I'm taking this follow-up class, it was just not clicking for me. And I wasn't feeling it. And I'm like, maybe I don't really want to do this. And I'm sitting in class one morning in large auditorium class, right? Not one of the small intimate classrooms. I got there early. I was sitting there by myself. And like suddenly one of my classmates comes in, someone I didn't know. And of all the chairs in the room, picked the one sitting right next to me. I'm like, what are you doing? You're kind of invading my space. And on all of us in computer science are socially awkward, right? So he leans over at one point and goes, got a new hard drive over the weekend. I'm like, I don't care. And he says, you want to come home and watch me install it? I'm like, nope.
Wow.
I think I'm done. These are not my people.
Wow. So, I mean, I thought you were a nerd. That's
I am a nerd. That's the fun thing, right? So So I started like hunting. What would I want to do? And I happened to also be taking a Psych 100 class because that was, you know, one of the generals, and was interested in it and thought maybe this is something I could do. And eventually, I explored some other things too. I was thinking maybe journalism. There's journalism and, you know, a couple other things. And I finally decided, no, you know, this is interesting to me. Like, I really have always wanted to understand why people do the things they do. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is one way to do it. So, you know, grad school did clinical psychology and, you know, just kind of general adult clinical psychology. Did my internship at the Portland, Oregon VA hospital, and was really my first introduction to a military veteran population, and loved it, and was just fascinated by all the work there. And interestingly, so we had six interns for the year, and we had three rotations throughout the year. So we all got to kind of express our interest in the particular rotations that we wanted to do, and then got selected into whatever. Four out of the six of us wanted to do the PTSD rotation, and I was the one who didn't get it, which is kind of funny. So, because I think out of all the cohort now, and if you're listening, I apologize, I don't necessarily know this for sure, but I think out of the four, out of all of the six of us now, I might be the only one who's doing anything consistently in the PTSD realm, which is kind of funny. But, you know, they worked me into the general outpatient clinic to maybe get some experience with PTSD, but it wasn't like this immersive, you know, learning PE, CPT, you know, mm-hmm. EMDR kind of a rotation. So it wasn't really until kind of my second job after getting my degree that CDP actually came on site, and they're like, we're going to teach PE. I'm like, that's something I've always wanted to learn. I don't know as much about it as I want to. And, you know, so kind of from there, the rest is history. Kind of ended up, you know, doing some PE in the clinic there. Eventually, got invited by a great colleague, Dr. Ray Grieger, actually. He was on our show, probably, I think, season one or two. He said, hey, they're standing up a new agency, the National Center for Telehealth and Technology. I'm going to be doing some virtual reality exposure work. Are you interested? And I'm like, I'm a nerd, yes. And did some work with virtual reality exposure therapy, did some research with that, got to be in on a whole bunch of fun, nerdy technology projects. And then an opportunity opened up at CDP to kind of be leveraging technology things. So got back to my roots as mm-hmm. a computer science nerd in a way, but getting to mix that with psychology has been really fantastic. So
I love that part of the story for you, because I think that's such an amazing example of how two passions kind of came together.
Yeah.
In a way that nobody would have really imagined, or you probably didn't imagine way
no.
back in that computer
and couldn't
science
have planned
class.
It, I think, if I wanted to, you know, like right. if I had sat in that class, that computer science class, I'm like, okay, what I really want to be is a, you know, a human computer interaction kind of specialist or whatever, then these are the steps I need to take. Never would have mapped it this way.
Yeah.
Never would have mapped it this way. They're just, you know, kind of taking opportunities as they came were really important. I remember one thing a professor in college told me at one point, he called it Tobler's Law. And he said, everything is related to everything else. The idea mm-hmm. that, you know, nothing that we're learning is really irrelevant. It's relevant, perhaps distantly at different times, but everything is related to everything else. So I've kind of taken that to heart. Like, that's something that works for me, is to think about everything matters.
There are two things that you said in that story, Kevin, that really resonated with me. The first, obviously, that it's nice that you had a similar journey, that you didn't start out knowing
right.
that you were going to end up here, much like me. I didn't even know this was a thing, right? So I appreciated that part. I also appreciate, not to put words in your mouth or to overstate, but you didn't immediately succeed at it, it sounds like, meaning
yeah.
like you weren't accepted into the PTSD rotation. And right. the reason that resonates for me is when I graduated, when I finished grad school, I had the hardest time finding a job. Like, I think I was one of the last people in my class to find a job. And I was certain that I was just terrible at this and I was never going to be successful. I was never going to go anywhere. So,
well, and I skipped over that part. My first job out of grad school or out of internship was with a company that does medication clinical trials. And it didn't seem terribly relevant to the story, but again, everything's related to everything else. It really was related. And it was because, again, it was an opportunity that opened up that I wasn't really looking for, but the experiences there were also very interesting and relatable, relevant to what we're doing now and that too. So
there's something potentially redeeming about every right. step of the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jenna.
Jenna.
You're in the hot seat.
Bring us home. Well, I often like to tell the story that in college, undergraduate, I wanted to be an English major. I wanted to do creative writing. I was going to write the Great American Novel. That was, you know, it's interesting, the creativity thread there, right. That we share. And my father sent me down and told me I needed to have a quote unquote sensible major. And for whatever reason, in his world
psychology
right. was that other major that he suggested would be my sensible major. And so ergo, I double majored in English creative writing focus and psychology. And lo and behold, after I graduated, it seemed like I felt a little confused and lost as to what I was going to do. And so I decided I would explore what psychology could look like for me. And I actually did it, I feel like, in a very, well thought out way, where I first got a job. I wanted to check out clinical work. So of course, with a bachelor's, you can do just about nothing, right? You can't really have many jobs, but I was able to get a job in a residential a group home for teenage girls in the custody of the state. I was in Vermont at the time. And boy, if you're going to cut your teeth, there is nothing as raw as, really, it was a really hard job. It was really hard, especially with a bachelor's. And I always think back to like, man, if I had the skills I had now, imagine what I actually could have done with those kids. But anyway, okay, that fit. I really liked it. I wanted to work with kids, Corinne, originally. Mm-hmm. And then I did a year of I kind of took some classes. I was in the Philly at the time, and I took some classes in a master's program, and that fit. I was doing fine. Then I did some research at Penn, so I really like checked out all the areas. I was like, okay. Then applied, wound up going to graduate school, and was again in more health psych. I did a lot of obesity research at the time, and primary care type things as well. And I often tell this story when we do PE, but I was looking for internships as 9/11 happened, was really kind of shaken up personally by that. I had two friends, one close friend from college die in one of the towers, and another friend's older brother made me really evaluate, what am I doing? What do I want to do? And checked out some of the military internships and fell in love with the Air Force internship. Really robust health psychology training, great integration into primary care in ways that I couldn't even imagine, in a civilian setting. Despite all of my friends and all of my family calling me absolutely crazy for joining the military because there was nothing about me that they saw as military, I joined, and it was an amazing experience and loved integrating into primary care and OBGYN and oncology and all these like cool, innovative services. And then I wound up transitioning to Center for Diploma in Psychology. And that whole English major creative writing thing came back around because for the first many, many years, I can't even remember, my primary role was to write on-demand courses. So now I was actually applying my writing skills and my psychology together, but also was able to train in PE similar to Kevin and get supervised by Dave Riggs, and really kind of loved that work of supervising interns doing PTSD work. And I think, what I've loved about CDP, which is what I've loved about the field of psychology as a whole, is there's so many places you can go. There's so many opportunities to grow your practice, grow your brain, grow your skills, grow your research knowledge. And you literally, you know, kind of can't get bored. And I always said I wanted to pursue psychology because I could do clinical work, I could teach, I could do research. Like there's just so many ways that I could take these analytical skills that I was working on and apply them. So, and you know, kind of been connected with the military population ever since through CDP, which I just love. So that's kind of my why.
I gotta say, I was laughing when you said that psychology was the more reasonable, or what was the word you used?
Sensible was the word he used.
Sensible.
It's my sensible major.
Direction. And it's funny because I kind of got the opposite when I was switching from computer science. My family was freaking out, like, "What are you doing?"
You're like, "Well, I could have been an actor, so be happy."
Exactly.
I like that that your last point in that, Jenna, that it's such a broad field and you can do so many different things. That has definitely been true in my career, that you know, I get burnt out doing one thing, or I just feel like I kind of hit the limit of doing one thing, and then I can go teach for a while, or I can do more clinical practice, or I could write an article or whatever.
Or on season 5 of a podcast.
Right. Be a podcast host. Come on. The opportunities are endless. It's so true, though. There's so many different places to go, and you can always be reinventing yourself.
But also, you came full circle, too. Like, I think all of us, I mean, like you mentioned about, you know, coming to CDP and all that, but I imagine you've used your writing and your creativity skills perhaps more than you thought you would as a psychologist.
100%.
That you learned, you know, as an English major there, too. And Corinne, you're just dealing with us animals now, too. So, you know, you come full circle as well.
Well, and I think when you're able to marry passions like that, it just makes your work so much more fulfilling. And the tasks to this day that I really, I mean, I love teaching and training is still probably my number one. I love that. I love interacting with participants and, you know, supporting folks in their learning. That's my favorite. But then, you know, any of the other more creative tasks are the ones that really make me really happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a great dive into the whys and a great way to start off our season. I can't wait to hear our guests' whys as well, but it wouldn't be a podcast episode without our actionable intel. So what can we take away from this discussion of the whys? What got us here? So Kevin, I'll start with you. Do you have an actionable intel item?
Yeah, I was thinking about this a lot as we've been kind of thinking about the concept for this episode, even like what would be my why. And I think mine would just be that remembering your why is important. Like, you know, kind of all of us has one. Everybody who's listening has a why, or maybe multiple whys. And the times that I've been challenged or felt like burnt out, you know, as Jen was saying, or Corinne, you were saying, or, you know, wasn't really sure if what I was doing was making an impact, I think those are the times where it was really helpful to go back and ask myself, like, what is my why? Why am I doing this? And how did I get here? And that helps me to kind of ground and, you know, recognize that not everything is perfect, like we talked about last season. And that, you know, that what is my why can be that underlying thing I fall back to, rather than getting spun up and swirled up in all the problems or the challenges, that why can be really grounding. So that's my actionable intel item. Remember your why. And if you don't remember what it is, you know, spend some time rediscovering what that why is.
Yeah, I think that can really help you especially if you've, like you said, burnt out, hit a wall and need to kind of reevaluate what you're doing, remembering what brought you here in the first place. Jenna, how about you? You have an actionable intel item for us?
I do. I think the lesson I have learned throughout my career is say yes to opportunities. Say yes to training opportunities, say yes to supervision opportunities, say yes to being on a committee, you know, and I don't mean problematically, like you're that yes person that's overwhelmed, but what I mean is, if it's not specifically in your wheelhouse or not your area of expertise, but you have an opportunity to learn or to grow or to get exposure to something, I think, you know, kind of going back to Kevin's Tobler's law, everything is related to everything else, it'll still enhance some aspect of what you do potentially, or open up another opportunity that you never really thought you know, and I even think back to the writing the online courses, that was never a dream of mine to write online courses. I'm not sure I really want to go back there. But at that time in my life, I had young babies, I needed flexibility. And, you know, I found joy in it. And I learned a lot. And I learned a ton about adult learning. And I think, again, that has carried forward even in some of the curriculum development and training that I do today. So that would be it. Say yes to opportunities.
Love that.
To grow.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to piggyback on that.
Oh. I'm just going to say, I mean, and if you take opportunities that didn't work out, you might learn that there's some things you're not passionate about, and that's okay too.
Well, now you're just stealing my thunder, because that was going to be kind of my actionable intel item.
Well, tell us what you're going to. I'm sorry.
I was going to piggyback off Jenna, because I could not agree more. Say yes to opportunities. You know, that's how I've ended up here. And I am pretty happy with where I am. And it was from saying yes to things like teaching in front of 60 people that just sounded horrifying and terrifying. But related, so I had so many great opportunities, and most things that went well in my career were unplanned because I said yes to trying new things. But then that's related to what you just said, Kevin, which I think would be my actionable intel item, which is to not be afraid to change paths. If you have said yes to something, if you've tried something and it's just not working, you're not locked into that. Like, all of us have shared, you know, our experiences. I could be a veterinarian right now. You know, some days I think maybe I should have been, but, or I could have been a school psychologist and been, you know, really struggling and burnt out. But I didn't, and I changed paths and got to where I am today. And I'm sure I'll, you know, change paths in some format moving forward. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's healthy.
I thought you were going to say something else, and not to be punny about it, but I thought you were going to go a different direction with that. And that, you know, don't be afraid to change paths, is that opportunities are presenting themselves in front of all of us all the time. And sometimes the best thing to do is take a step into the unknown, you know, and try something different. And I think that's also important too. Like, don't be afraid to seize some of those opportunities when they appear.
Yeah, but if you step into the unknown and it's sticky and smelly and you don't like it,
you don't have to stay there. Exactly.
You can back out.
And we're back to veterinarian.
Right. Well, we definitely hope that you enjoy this theme throughout season 5. And we are excited for the guests that we have lined up and think this is going to be another great season. And as always, the thing that we would love is to hear from you. We definitely value interaction with our listeners, both, you know, what you're hoping to hear in future podcasts, but feel free to share what your why is. If you were kind of something in this episode was striking to you, and you wanted to share your why or your passion or even actionable intel for other folks in the field, we would love that as well. And you can do that via our SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/CDPP. CDP. Oh my gosh, I can't get. You know what? Don't just look at the link. Just forget me saying it.
You want to try that again?
Nope. Let's just. We're gonna link it in the show.
Seize the opportunities.
And it's there for you. So go ahead and do that.
Good job changing paths, Jenna. I'm very proud of you. You saw it wasn't working, and you went in a different direction. Great job. Look at the link. Send us your whys. Send us your stories. And also, I want to tell people to stay on the lookout, because we're throwing around the idea of maybe recording an episode of this podcast live, so to speak.
Wait, we're not live right now?
Live interaction with our listeners.
Oh, got it. Yes.
Yeah. So thanks, Kevin. We're hoping to record and have an opportunity for you all to call in, join us, ask questions, give your feedback. So if you have something you want to hear about, start collecting those ideas now, because we're going to want to hear from you later. And we're hoping that you will join us if and when we do record our live audience participation episode, that you will ask us your questions.
And I'll be sure to verbally give that link when the time comes. Well, thanks, Corinne and Kevin, for kicking us off. It's always fun when we get all the hosts together. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to Practical for Your Practice. And we hope to see you at the next, or have you join us for the next episode.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Practical for Your Practice.
Please feel free to subscribe, like, and share.
Until next time.